Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Well, the Christmas holidays, school holidays, are just only days away now. That means we have 6 weeks or more to fill in for our kids. And I imagine at least some of that time will be filled in watching the telly. I'm sure we all remember our favourite kids' TV shows with great affection. But what is children's television up to now? Some interesting answers. With all the new computer-generated imagery, stop-motion technologies, are our kids, and for that matter our parents, getting a good deal? Mark Hadley, our resident TV reviewer and father of three, is here to tell us what he thinks. Mark, good evening.
I'm a really good television reviewer.
Because you're a really good television watcher. Tell me before we start, your favourite show or shows?
Oh, listen, from the children's programming side, most people don't realise this, but, you know, when you sign up to be a television reviewer, you watch all the time slots.
Yeah. No, but as a kid.
As a kid, I would say, look, no one will know this, but someone will text in, maybe Facebook. Shintaro, does anybody remember Shintaro?
Sure they do.
Look, way back.
There's so many people out there.
Captain Scarlet is another classic. You know, sort of precursor to the Thunderbirds. I'll go with the Thunderbirds. Okay. That wasn't bad.
I'd go back to McHale's Navy, which is too far back. That is just gold. And every now and then they get recycled on.
Yeah, they do. So they do. Good. In fact, actually coming up on my blog, I'm going to be doing a series on the best of the oldest stuff available to watch.
Thank you, Mark. So let's take a bit of a glance at the TV schedules. A lot of the old classics are still with us with kids' TV. Thomas the Tank Engine, Fireman Sam, still around, still as good.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, that they're there, but they're not really there anymore. Yeah. And so basically what we've seen, you mentioned Thomas and, of course, Fireman Sam. There's Postman Pat's, another classic. Sure. Bananas in Pyjamas. And you'll see this pretty much across the board. Those that had a very distinct style of doing things, so Postman Pat and Fireman Sam were both stop animation.
Can you explain what that means?
Oh, look, stop animation is pretty simple. It's very much like Wallace and Gromit, where you actually have a model and you move it, shoot a frame, move it, shoot a frame, move it, shoot. So it takes a very long time to build.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Then you've got things like Thomas, which were largely live action, but you actually had a whole studio full of railways set up, and then they'd move the trains along and run them and pump out little smoke and things like that. You know, these highly intensive styles of television programming.
They were physical things.
Absolutely. Bananas in Pyjamas is the same. Yep. You actually had a studio-based show. And now, on the one hand, you could say this gave these programs character, okay? But one thing it did very particularly, it slowed the production process.
Okay.
Now, there are pros and cons to this. From a producer's point of view, and I speak, you know, professionally, it was probably a bit of a headache because you could only produce so much per year. It took so long to do this. It had a certain expense associated with it. Now that we've transitioned more into the CGI style of things, you'll see a lot of computer-generated two-dimensional animation or even three-dimensional animation going on. We're actually losing a lot in the process. Now, suddenly, we can produce, you know, 18-episode and 26-episode series, and we can do that inside of, you know, a six-month period or less. That's great. In fact, what's actually happening, the production process has been segmented now. So I could be writing a script, and in fact, I've done this, not for children's television, but I would be writing a script in Australia. I send off my script to somebody in the UK who evaluates it. It's then produced on computer in India or Pakistan. There are other places that will do this. And then at a much cheaper rate, and then sent back. The problem is that in this mass production, a lot of things move a lot faster. Characters actually become not more developed, but basically more two-dimensional. Okay. Storylines become simpler, and in fact, much easier to repeat.
A real churn.
Look, it is basically a machine with a crank on one end.
So you've replaced the old kind of physical models with just computer graphics.
Yes.
Clever as they are.
Yeah, and look, it's sometimes fun, you know, but other times, most often, it becomes just a cheaper variation of the series itself. And what I think actually, you know, follows is that you end up with just a flood of material. Now, look, I'm not, in this sense, what I'm talking about now is not an individual analysis of each of the programs. We could talk about the values of Bananas and Pyjamas, pros and cons. We could do the same for Thomas. By the way, I'm really angry about Thomas.
Going to get to that. You're very angry about Thomas.
I'm angry about
engine.
Thomas because from an educational standpoint, when you had these sort of very physical style productions, what you actually had was a great ability for children to replicate in play what they were seeing on the screen. Okay, so take Bananas in Pyjamas, for example. If you've got the teddies running around playing a game, the kids can actually play the game, okay? There's nothing happening that isn't physical and in the studio. But when you turn it into a CGI and the teddy says, let's play a game where we pretend we go to the seaside, they say, let's go to the seaside. Bang, there's the animation. You just put in a different background there. They're all at the seaside. Sure. Yeah. But a kid can't replicate that as well. Likewise, Thomas, and this is why I was a bit cranky about this, Thomas, because it was this physical model thing, the kids could actually buy the trains,
yes,
which that you would see. There was a very physical thing. So what actually happened, for my boys, for example, like I said, I've got three boys over the last 10 years, they would reenact the storylines with the trains. They loved it. They did that. There's a complete disconnection going on now between just this sort of glazed-out cartoon look now and the play side of things.
Mark, how important is a good script in children's television? Well, there'll be a lot of people who think, oh, it's just kids.
Yeah, look, I want to say that to begin with, okay, we have a saying in my industry that only a good script promises a good result, because everything goes right or wrong at that very point. Now, you might say, Mark, you're a scriptwriter. That's nice. You're heading your own industry. But it's
and
true.
My number is.
But it's true that if you don't actually sort of work out what a production is going to say at that level, you'll end up saying nothing. You might have lots of colour and movement, but you'll just end up with no idea. But I think there's a grander problem. Okay, when you mass produce things and throw them at kids, kids move into not simply just a watching what's on, but a catch-up mentality. There's something new every week. Some of these programs are running daily throughout the year.
Yes.
Okay, so there's no end to the number of DVDs they can buy. There's no end to the number of shows they can watch. There was a time when I actually owned, professionally, all of the episodes of the Bananas in Pyjamas, available, and they fit on 3 VHS tapes.
Oh, do they really?
That's the weird thing that now you could not buy that amount.
No.
Okay, and so what I have with my children, if we go shopping, go to Kmart, you go to Target, you're looking, they're in the DVD section. I'm in there, of course, again, professionally.
Professionally,
I don't know what they're doing. They're just wandering around following me. But there's always something extra there. Now, the end result, quite apart from the content of the program, the end result is an eroding of patience. You can no longer say, look, it's not on this afternoon, we can wait. There's an eroding of contentment because, I've sat in a situation where I've seen kids unwrap a product, pick it up, look at it, get so excited and turn it over to see the ones that they haven't got. And that happens within crazy. I mean, this mass production is not only delivering flimsy scripts and therefore sometimes storylines that say nothing and take us nowhere, but it's also undermining a whole idea of just saying, hey, let's wait.
Yes. So, okay, if I'm a parent out there with young kids, what should I be doing?
Look, the first thing I want to say to every parent out there, and it's the same, firstly, I understand, okay? Yeah. This idealistic world, which, some people live in which they never have any sort of need for a television and a child. Look, I understand that is not the world that I live in my household, and it's not simply because I watch TV for a living.
Professionally, yes.
But look, it is important to be an intentional viewer. So, look, I would say this to adults, taking care of kids, and I'd say to adults themselves, don't turn on the box unless you know what you're going to watch already. If you've got, I think one of the best things you can probably buy in this day and age for your family is a DVR, a digital video recorder.
Yep.
Because with the setup, you can basically choose what you're going to watch, sit down for 10 minutes in the week, have it recorded, and you're never at the mercy of, you never want to teach a child something they have to unlearn. And one of the most dangerous things that anybody can learn with television is surfing. Just the habit of going, I think I'll turn the TV on and just
see what's
watch.
On. Yes, I know.
The see what's on will lead you in 10 different directions. Before you know it, it's midnight, you're on SBS, everything goes wrong.
So that's an intentional viewer.
Intentional viewer.
But what about shopping? So I'm in the shop my kids.
It's a similar process. Look, you owe it to know what you think are the good children's programs.
Yep.
Now, this is what I'm saying, that the pool is actually getting a little shallower, okay, by virtue of the fact that they're mass producing these things now. It's actually getting harder, okay? But I would still say that, gosh, you know, the weird thing is, by virtue of DVDs, if you're going to buy Thomas, I wouldn't say buy anything after season five. Go buy seasons 1 through 5, you'll be fine.
You're a very angry man.
There you go. But likewise, you know, you can get the same sort of thing out of the first 3 or 4 seasons of Postman Pat. I would certainly have no issue with the first 3 or 4 seasons of Bananas in Pyjamas. It's when we start skipping over into the mass-produced stuff, that's when it becomes most problematic.
Yeah.
But look, it's all about knowing why you're there. Giving a kid $10 and saying, pick up a DVD that you'd like, you might as well just, you know, set them free in any part of the store. You wouldn't do that. Don't do that in the TV.
You've got a mate. Kerry's post on the Facebook page, Shintaro and the Samurai the best. Leave Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for dead.
Yeah, I could not believe they actually had to add a turtle to make samurais interesting. I mean, come on.
So with free-to-air cable TV, including dedicated kids' channels now, always something for kids to watch. Is that a good thing?
Look, I'll tell you what is good. Yep. The supply is good. Because weirdly, I haven't done this recently, but if I do a big search around, I might actually be able to find Shintaro somewhere, you
probably
know, on
would air. Too, yes.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing, that thanks to you know, the digital age and it's basically springing up of 4 extra channels on top of the free-to-air ones that we've had, we have a lot of things coming back which we didn't have access to. But again, it's not the sort of thing where you go, oh gosh, there's nothing on ABC2 for my kids, so I'll flick over to ABC3. ABC3 is pitched at, you know, upper primary school and high school, so it's not a safety net for, you know, they're not being something for the children to watch at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. You need to know what's there. You need to choose it.
Because in that context, you're surfing again.
Yeah, you end up basically saying, oh, look, I might have 4 channels here, but you're just setting them free within a playground that has, you know, not that many fences.
Yeah. Is it a good idea for mum and dad to watch TV shows with their kids?
Look, I think that once you get a sense of a series, again, sometimes TV is what gives, you know, a mum or a dad that blessed 20 minutes to actually get the kitchen cleaned up after they've destroyed it over lunch or something like that. You know, so
and it's 5 o'clock.
And
yes.
There's a certain, I mean, educationists will speak about this better than I will, but children have the need for downtime as much as we do. You know, so there can be learning exercises, but it's great to sort of entertain with a story and to have some time out. That's okay. I figure once a parent has established what can actually be a you know, good parameters. For example, I know where my boys are currently. I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. I think that the Jedi series, the Clone Wars, the cartoon one, is safe ground for them. There's some sort of general moralism. I'm aware of the Hindu issues within it, and so I talk to my kids about it and say, look, what do we believe? What do they believe? But I also like the idea of fighting for what is right. I think that's a good value for them to absorb. And we all engage in, well, you know, I own a lightsaber already. But you know, it's one of those
jumping things, on the couch.
You've got to pick your battleground.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
not all going to be perfect. There's nothing out there yep. that it is. But what you can do is pick something. It's going to be helpful.
So you're hopeful or not about the future of children's television?
Look, this is going to sound terrible. I've placed my hope, apart from God, in Canada. Reason being, look, the big powerhouse of decent animation pretty much, you know, is Canadian. You know, so watch what's coming out of Canada, and you'll often find there's a lot of really good stuff coming out of there. So I keep my eye on Canada. The ABC, honestly, that it was a big disappointment, because what they've done is it's Southern Star that they've actually transferred the production rights for Bananas and Pyjamas over to, and it's not done them any favours.
No.
You know, so I don't know if it turns into too much of an industry here as much as it has in the States or the UK. You know, it's only going to go downhill.
You're a fountain of wisdom, and I look forward to catching up with you next week with Cara and Ben, our 3 cultural gurus.
I'm looking forward to
reviewing the year.
I've got a surprise I'm bringing in.
Okay, don't you say that. Okay, Mark Hadley, thank you so much, as always.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.